Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Game Time with Coach Bartley. I'm your host, Anthony Bartley, and we're here to discuss women's football. Just to kind of get you guys hip to the game as to what Mr. Bartley is doing here on Blog Talk Radio, I am here to really break down football to its best. Just want to let everyone know as a disclaimer, my thoughts, views, and opinions are not that of any league that I am affiliated with or any other league in women's football. Now, we have a unique show tonight. Our first guest is going to be John Evans. He is with the Empire State Roar, and he's got some very interesting news to tell us. Like I said, with women's football, as everybody knows, a lot of drama, a lot of action that takes place, and he's going to fill us in on the latest information. Then our second guest is going to be Brian Sewell, owner, head coach of the Phoenix Prowlers. I advise everybody, if you have any questions, feel free to call in, or you can actually go on to WFB Talk Continues, and we will actually be able to chat online live. Now, just to kind of fill you in on what Anthony Bartley is about, well, just kind of give you an idea. I've played pro ball back in 96 with the Frankfurt Galaxy before being released. Finished my pro career in the German American League. I played in the semi-pro, and from that point on, I pretty much have been in the minor leagues and as a head coach, general manager for several teams. Now I am here. Officially, I am a member of the Women's Football Alliance. I am also the owner and head coach of the California Lynx. Now, we should have Coach Evans joining us here shortly.
I'm here.
So we'll just he's here. Nice to have you here, Mr. Evans.
Thanks, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you? I hear a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. I believe I have a couple of my players and one of my other coaches online here, but The first thing is that we aren't the Empire State Roar anymore. We are the Binghamton Tiger Cats. We have moved locations. The Empire State Roar still exists, but they're going to take a year off. So we've taken our whole staff and our girls and moved 100 miles south.
Oh, wow. You know, you see, like I said, it's now what really brought this on? You know, what brought this whole change? Because, you know, just – you know, being a part of the WFA and watching all the brand new teams come in and, you know, how the league is starting to develop, you know, this comes as a big shock and a surprise, and I'm pretty sure it's surprising everyone here in women's football. So,
yeah, well, a couple of things. Number one, based out of Rochester, New York, we had zero girls from Rochester, New York on our roster. The majority of the girls that signed up for this year were from the Binghamton area, the Southern Tier, and then a handful from here and Buffalo. So sponsorships became available down in Binghamton. If people have been watching some of the web, we've been offered a domed stadium to play our home games in, which is, to my knowledge, it's the first in women's football that will have indoor games. We're not only going to have our 4 to 5 home games indoors, but we're also trying to organize a kickoff classic, which would feature any team that wants to participate from, you know, trying to bring the leagues together. I would love to see representation from all three of the leagues in this game, and it would be probably the week before the season would kick off. We would try to do it, you know, maybe the second week of April. But you know, we've got big sponsorships. It will be televised. It's, you know, it just seems like the right thing to do for our move. I just, again, Rochester, New York, well, there was no support for women's football this year. When we pulled out 2 years ago of the WPFL and took a year off, it really hurt us, because when we tried to come back this year, like I said, we had no girls. Most of the girls had transferred to another fine program down the Thruway, which is in Albany, which is the New York Nemesis, which is a great team, and you know, they're playing in the IWFL, and you know, the girls are, obviously it's a very successful program, and would not want to return to Rochester. So we really were digging as to what to do, and this opportunity came forward, and you and I talked about it a couple of weeks ago, the possibility, but this domed stadium became a reality, and so far we're all over the press down there. They're newspapers, and we've been on the TV twice already this week, and it's just, I think, going to be huge for the sport. We're in a position at this point, we're not charging fees for the girls this year. We're actually going to pay a stipend to the players to play, which is real professional football, in my opinion. And you know, I think we're going to take this to the next level that you know, that we've talked about for a number of years. These are all the things that we've complained about as coaches and owners over the past years, and all the other leagues that we've been in. I think we're starting to overcome those barriers.
Sweet. You know what? And I'm gonna tell you, just being a part of women's football for, I would say, 6 years now, you guys would actually be the first team to have a full complete season in a dome. I mean, that's mm-hmm. That's head and shoulders above, you know, any and everything going, even in the men's semi-pro levels. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just heard of. So, you know, I hats off to you guys, because, I mean, that's a major breakthrough for women's football, major breakthrough. Now, tell me, how are you guys doing as far as your, you know, conditioning, recruiting, you know,
We're in the middle of our recruiting right now. We've had a couple of team meetings so far. We've had a couple of workouts. I'd say our numbers are probably right around where we project them for this time of the year. We're hoping we're probably running between 25 and 30 right now, and we're doing a couple more appearances at some of the local colleges and meet and greet sessions. And I think our goal is to pick up another 15 to 20 athletes and probably hopefully start camp in January with a roster of 40 plus.
Okay, well, then let me ask you this question. Now, with the big move to Binghamton, I hope I'm saying that correctly.
Yep.
is that going to cause any conflict with Empire? You know, because like you said, it's just being that you were part of that franchise, you know, it just seems kind of odd. So some people may, you know, be on the outside looking in thinking, oh, well, maybe was this a mutiny or – You know.
The only conflict, I didn't think so, but I went on the old website tonight, and I see my picture is blackened out of the team picture, so I guess there must be more conflict than I thought. But and at this point, I mean, there just is nothing in Rochester. I wish the Roar well, and I think they're going to try to make a comeback in 2010 in the WFA, but I do think the market in this area is dried up. We left with we offered to take the ownership with us, and that wasn't possible. And I wish them well. I mean, I really it was an enjoyable 3 years with the current management, I don't have any hard feelings, but I guess there's some hard feelings coming from the other direction. But we got to move on. I mean, we got to take this sport where it needs to go, and they just weren't willing to move where we needed to move to. So this is an opportunity that I don't think anybody could pass up. I mean, I think this is gonna rocket the sport, and I think it's gonna set the bar, and I think it's gonna really allow women that wouldn't be able to play because of the exorbitant fees that have been charged. It's gonna allow women that just want to play football the opportunity to do that. We've also got an equipment deal where the first year we're going to be able to rent equipment to the girls. So the first year players that are just going to try out, not sure whether they want to play or not, there's really literally going to be no expense.
God, I see that's a sweet deal.
Now, I should have a veteran on the line here and a rookie, and I'm not positive if they've called in yet, but there should be one of our veteran players, Don Jansen, who's been with us for 3 years, and then one of our rookie quarterbacks, Sarah Jensen, out of the Binghamton area. I believe they're on. I'm hoping they called in.
I'm here, John. This is Dawn.
Okay. Hi, Dawn.
How are you, Coach?
Good.
Now, let me ask you this question. Now, what's the atmosphere like, you know, amongst the players right now? You know, are you getting mixed feelings, you know, with the whole transition, or is everybody pretty much okay with it?
Dawn, you want to handle that one? Because Dawn's actually a Rochester area girl.
Sure. I just think we're all excited. Unfortunately, like John said, most of the Rochester girls have decided to stay with the Nemesis. And so as far as the girls that are with us, we are all excited. You know, we're ready to go. We are so excited to have a dome to play in, a place to play before the weather gets nice. As you know, upstate New York's not the greatest in January and February, which was a big setback for us last year, trying to practice, trying to get outside and trying to work out. And this is just, we are really excited.
Cool. Now, let me ask you this question. In retrospect to the new league that you guys are going to be in now, the WFA, what's your take on that? You know, how do you guys really feel about the WFA in comparison to, you know, let's say the NWFA or the IWFL?
Well, I think the WFA is really taking things into, again, the things that we as owners and coaches have talked about at owners' meetings and coaches' meetings and complained about. I think Jeff and the administrative staff out there at the WFA have really taken into consideration and making it more possible, I think, for more people to take advantage of this game and really making it possible to give controls back to the teams to be able to do what we need to do and to not be able to tell what mouthpiece we have to wear or what chin strap we have to wear or, you know, what. I was getting to the point where I was even worried about what hot dogs you have to sell at the concession stand. But, you know, I think we're, you know, with the ownership and control now that we can control our own destiny, I think it's going to come back into the players, which, again, you know, we ask ourselves. I look at this one chat room on Yahoo and I just laugh with all the bickering goes on. And I just, you know, why can't we just be one? Why can't we just, you know, if we're in this for why we say we're in this, why can't we all just get along and play football?
Well,
it's nuts.
Why can't we all just get along?
Exactly. Why can't we play each other? Why can't we scrimmage each other? Why can't we, you know, talk to each other's players? I from a couple of other coaching places I've been at, I happened to email back and forth with a couple of the former players, and my God, I almost got my head chewed off by a former coach or by a former owner because they thought I was recruiting one of their players, and I could, you know, absolutely not. So
I can honestly say this, you know, being on this radio webcast, I'm gonna say, you know, speak your mind, you know, whatever you feel it, you know. I'm gonna label myself as the Howard Stearns of women's football.
Oh.
So I expect everyone to be open. I mean, if you got feelings, share them. Don't hide them because you know what. One of the things that I've learned, if you keep everything bottled in, that's going to lead to more stress, heart attacks, strokes, you name it. So, you know, let's just be free with it. You know, I know at one time, you know, and this was, you know, prior to you, moving up further north, you guys were actually going to enter into the IWFL. Now,
yes.
What was the cause for the change?
Well, it was the WPFL had pretty much dried up that year, and we were going to go into the WPFL. But again, this is the scenario that the team was in a couple of years ago that they decided to wait a year and go in. So we sat on the shelf for the IWFL for a year. Myself and my staff went down and we coached the New Jersey Titans last year down in the NWFA. And had a great opportunity down there, and they were looking for a coaching staff, and we actually brought a handful of our girls down there that were looking for a place to play, and and had a great time last year with the Titans. And, you know, then we figured we'd get the Roar when this opportunity came up to resurface the Roar again. We thought we'd jump right at it, obviously for travel distances. We were driving 5 hours each way to get to Jersey every weekend, and that gets a little expensive. So we thought, you know, here we are back in our own backyard again. It is great, but again, with we did everything under the sun to try to market and get numbers and get signups, and it just is it's a very dry area right now. And you know, Dion hit it right on the head on one of the boards the other night that, you know, that you gotta, you know, take the team to where there's interest, and we did, and I believe this is again, it's the right thing to do. We've made more progress in, we announced it 2 days ago, and that we were changing locations, and we've made more progress in these last 2 days than we made in 3 months as far as interest. And I'm getting emails off the wall from people that want to be a part of this as far as sponsors. And I, you know, I just got two more players that emailed me, potential players tonight, that emailed me and heard us on a, heard something about us on a radio show this morning, that one of our other coaches was on his way to work and called me, and he said, "You're not going to believe they've been talking about us for 20 minutes on the radio of coming to Binghamton." And out of that, we got girls. So I mean, it's just the area is a hotbed right now, and I think, you know, anybody would be nuts not to, you know. The other good thing, and again, I hold a similar role as yourself. I'm the Region 1 representative for the WFA, and what we've done by the move to Binghamton is we've also cut everybody's travel distance down by 2 hours, because we're 2 hours closer to Philadelphia and New Jersey and Delaware, and it also helps ourselves too. So, you know, it's helped with everybody's travel budget with this move also.
Cool.
How you doing?
I'm all right. Well, let me ask you this quick, and I'm going to go back to Don. Don, what position are you playing right now?
I play safety, and I'm on the kickoff and kick return team.
Okay. And is football all that you thought it would be when you first started?
Oh, everything. It's like I love it. I can't get enough. I have three boys. Two of my boys play football. I love college football, pro football, you name it. I watch it. And when I got the opportunity to play, it is just, I wish I had found it when I was a whole lot younger than I am right now.
Cool. So,
and Don's husband is my linebackers coach, and is doing a great job. He's very instrumental in helping this move take place, her husband Eric. So Eric's been a huge part of the success that we've had over the past couple of years with both organizations, and then you know, a huge asset to what we're doing right now.
So now, Keon, tell me, Don, what are your goals and aspirations? You know, really, what are you looking to get out of playing this collision sport? Because you know what, back in the day, they used to consider football a contact sport. You know, I know you remember this, Coach Evans. You know, everyone said football is a contact sport. You know, it's turned into more of a collision sport.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
It's like, what are you looking to get out of this? What are you looking to accomplish?
You know, I've always been an athlete. I ran track, held several records in high school and college for track, played soccer, and this is just like the next step. I mean, it's just like, you know, you can come home from a day of work or a week of work, and you can get out there on the football field and just let it out, just nail somebody. And, you know, I have a daughter, too, who's 9. But, you know, there's nothing out there that us women can't do. And, you know, if we can show other females that, you know, you can do whatever you want. If this is a way to do that, then I'm all for it. I mean, I just love it. It's so much fun. The team atmosphere, we're all a family. I mean, it's just amazing. We carpool. I mean, like John was saying, last year we drove 5 hours one way to play football for 2 hours. And we carpooled. We shared hotel rooms. I mean, we were just one big family, and we did whatever it took to get to New Jersey to play because we like the game.
Cool. Now, do we have – I know we were looking at trying to have one of your other players on.
Sarah, are you on?
Online.
We're looking for Sarah.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
All right, I'm here.
How you doing, Sarah?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Glad to have you on.
Thank you.
Now tell me, you know, being this, you know, this is your rookie season. You know, what are you most looking forward to?
I've always loved football, and I'm just so excited to be a part of it. I hope that I could fulfill, you know, the quarterback role as to what everyone hopes. I want to go out there and play. I've been playing since I was, you know, second grade on playground with the boys. And, you know, football I love. I have season tickets to the Buffalo Bills. I'm a huge football fan. So I just want to go out and have fun, not get hurt.
Oh, okay. Well, that, I think that's the whole idea, everyone not to get hurt. Now, let me ask you this question. What's your athletic background consist of?
In high school, I played soccer, basketball, and ran track. And then in college, I played basketball and golf at a small D3 school in New York. So I've been pretty athletic, and I continue to play soccer. Recently, I stopped playing a little bit because it's gotten a little too rough without pads. So now that I'm playing football, I'm saying bring it on. Now that I have pads on, you can try to tackle me anytime.
Okay, good. So you're trying to learn this quarterback role. I think you have a strong arm.
I'm thinking I must, if that's what they want me to play. You know, I came to a few of the tryout workout sessions and showed them what I could do. So usually I'm used to playing with an NFL-sized ball or even a high school ball, but these balls are youth-sized. So I found that I could throw it a lot farther than I normally could with the NFL ball.
And what's your take on the team so far? You know, how do you feel
I'm very excited. I'm very excited. The coaches are great. They know a lot about football, and they're teaching us, you know, the basics all the way through. I'm getting a little anxious, ready to go, you know, weekly workouts and getting into the, you know, the set plays and just more into the quarterback role right now. I'm just so excited for.
So you guys going to be ready to meet up in the championship, right?
Oh, yeah. Get ready. We're coming.
We're coming west, though.
Yeah. We want to come to California or Vegas.
That's what I like to hear, you know, the spirit of competition. You know, I'm trying to get everyone to understand that, you know, the California Lynx is going to win it all, you know.
Oh, okay.
The quiet is kept, you know.
Starts with the kickoff classic, Coach. Got to bring the Lynx out east for the kickoff classic.
Hey, there's a Binghamton airport. Fly them right in. The dome is about 5 minutes from the airport, so we'll be waiting.
You know what, to be honest with you, whether, you know, if I'm able to make it or not, I would love to have, you know, some sort of West Coast representation. I know just from my, speaking for my off season, I got so many things I'm trying to line up and get prepared for, because like I said, I have a young team. Very, very athletic young team, and I'd love to pin them against, you know, some experience, some competition, you know, teams like yourself or Vegas or even Phoenix for that matter, because Phoenix has always had a really good squad. So it's going to be real interesting to see, you know, whether, you know, win, lose, or draw. I think this is going to be probably the best year for women's football in general.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, one of the funny things, and we talk about, you know, and again, I'm with you 100%, and we've had conversations definitely over the past with you know, three, four of the calls I've gotten so far about this kickoff classic from teams from the other two leagues have definitely don't let anybody know we're scouting this out. So, like I said, we're still in this big secretive bubble. It's nuts. So, you know, but everybody's interested, but nobody wants the other person to know they're interested because they don't know if they'll get in trouble for being interested. So, you know, that's what I say. I say, bring it on. You know, the teams that show up to play in April, I don't care what league you're from. You know, what color jersey you have on, what stickers on your head, don't matter. Let's just get out and have some fun and play some football. And, you know, we'd love to have a four-team venue and even maybe get two games and maybe play a doubleheader on Friday night and then a semifinal consolation game and a final and do this every year and, you know, be able to give monies back to some charities or pay the girls that are coming in with the proceeds and the sponsorships and, you know, let's just take this thing to where it needs to go.
Yeah, exactly. Now, what do you think about international play? Like I said, I got a couple things that I'm trying to work on and trying to build, you know, and, you know, just talking with Jeff King, you know, the president of the WFA, and just kind of seeing what, you know, what's possibly out in the works. How do you feel about international play?
Well, I think it would be wonderful. I know the sport is big in Europe, and like you yourself, you went over and played in NFL Europe, and football's you're a national celebrity over there if you're a football player, and I've had guys that I've coached here in college that have gone over and played in Europe, and you know, one of the guys got cut by the Chiefs, and he said, you know, his year with the Chiefs was nothing compared to the 3 years he spent over in Europe. He said he had a ball, and he said he was like Tony Romo over there. Here he was backing up Tony Gonzalez. He said he was like Tony Romo anywhere he walked in Europe. So it's I think that it's they're probably where we're hoping we can be someday. I think that they really treat the sport with respect. I think they, you know, there's just so much disrespect amongst each other in this thing. I shouldn't answer these Yahoo boards, but they drive me nuts to see the bickering and stuff that goes on there. And it's just, you know, it's nuts. You feel like you're sitting in a therapist's office or something.
Well, I can honestly say I've been one to, you know, have to reply and just kind of, you know, sometimes you got to stand up for what you believe in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes, you know, it's really hard to just kind of sit back and let people kind of, you know, downgrade or demean, you know, something that you truly, you know, feel strong about.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, it, you know, it goes both ways. But, you know, being in a situation where, you know, you've been a part of a good example, I've been a part of women's football. Actually, I've been a part of two leagues, the AFWL, which that only lasted 1 year, and then, you know, going into the IWFL.
Mm-hmm.
And then just kind of seeing how, you know, they operate. Then you kind of look and see how the other leagues operated, the WPFL and the NWFA, and you just kind of sit back and you wonder, what's really going on here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've been told that, you know, hey, Anthony's got the biggest mouth in the West Coast here. I do.
But, you know, why can't we just learn from each other? I mean, why can't we go to a team in another, you know, I probably go to every website almost once a week, and I take things I like off each one, and they're certainly not all WFA sites. I mean, I just found one of the greatest sponsorship letters I've ever seen, and I took it off an IWFL site, and I'm going to try to tweak it a little bit. But, you know, those are the things we need to work together. You know, if we're having troubles with sponsors, you know, I got a letter that I think might work, or you know, people think I'm nuts when I say that we're going to pay girls to play this year. I mean, I think they're ready to lock me up somewhere. But why not? You played professionally yourself. I played professionally. I could only imagine if the day I got drafted, if I went up to sign my contract and they said, the good news is you made the team, and the bad news is it's going to cost you $1,500 to play. I would never have set foot on the field. Plus, buy your own equipment. You know, you know, what are we doing? You know, so at least let's not charge. Let's not, you know, tell people they have to bring in $1,500 in sponsorships plus play $500 to play. I mean, you know, that's just ludicrous, you know. And we may not succeed doing it this way this year, but, you know, we've got a set budget number that we need, and we're slowly but surely getting where we need to be. And it's, what is it, December? Not even December yet.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's doable, and it's very doable. It's just, you got to do it right, and you got to just not expect it to come to you. You got to get out there and knock on doors, and not be afraid to get out there, and 9 out of 10 people are probably going to say no, but that 10th person, if we can get them in the seats, and you know, we've had opportunity that, you know, let's give tickets away. If you give tickets away, at least you're going to sell hot dogs and T-shirts and stuff like that. And I've been part of organizations that would charge their own mother to get into the game. And then, you know, there's just creative ways you can do things. And I think that we've learned from each other. And I'm being facetious with that. I really haven't been around anybody like that. But there's creative ways to fill the seats. And, you know, when we were up here in Rochester, one of the people wanted us to play at this 10,000-seat arena. And I said, how am I going to sell a sponsor when all the pictures we have, you know, we've got 200 people in a 10,000-seat arena. Why don't we look for an 800-seat stadium where we look like we're full? It's going to look a lot more attractive to a sponsor.
Exactly.
So it's
Coach Jansen, y'all.
Yeah, Eric's one of my coaches.
You know, the reality of the matter is that there is a substantial blind spot when it comes to women's professional football, and in some cases, women's professional athletics, period. Everybody recognizes, or in large part recognizes, that the football players that are in the NFL are probably the best athletes in the world, bar none. But
True. That
does not carry over to women's professional football, and yet what I've found is that, like my wife, who was a D3 athlete, like Sarah, who's a D3 athlete, that many and many, many of the players that I've had the opportunity to coach are D1, or D2, or D3 athletes who could very easily, if they were male, be at that level of play. And so you say, well, geez, you know, can a team of women sell a sponsorship? And you immediately don't get the sale that is an NFL franchise, and because it won't sell. And those are people who are ignorant as to what this is. This is not high school football. This is not college football. These are professional athletes who put it out there. And you know what? If you get an established franchise in women's sports, they will give a good college team a good run, because that's the quality of the product that's out there. And I think that's a thing that people don't see. And until you get something like the opportunity we have in Binghamton with a dome, with the kind of community support that's there, it's very difficult to cross that threshold.
Yeah, actually, you make a valid point. You make a valid point. You know, it's one of those things where, I'll take it even a step further. The women's football camp and clinic we had a couple weeks ago here in Vegas. If people will take their craft seriously, you know, this will be this can actually be a market where, you know, people are going to, you know, want to come out and appreciate. You know, but it really starts from, you know, coaches, you know, like yourselves, you know, who really take pride in this game and that can really teach the fundamentals on how this game is truly played. You know, we can't be, you know, it's like we can be comparable to the NFL, but we can be comparable in a different level.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a different game. It is to the NBA what the WNBA is. It is absolutely a quality ball game, but it is a different skill set. You don't have Shaquille O'Neal slamming folks down in the WNBA. But at the same time, you know, you find a perimeter shooter in the WNBA, I'll put them up against a perimeter shooter in the NBA, and they're going to hold their own. And I think that's the same sort of thing in women's professional football. These are athletes who in their game can hold their own, and this is a real product. These are real people, real athletes, who, given the opportunity, really can launch the professional status of professional athletics for women.
Yeah, you touched a lot there. That is so true. Wow, this has been an exciting conversation. I don't even want it to end. I know I'm supposed to have Brian Sewell from Phoenix online. Unfortunately, my internet went down on my computer, so I'm trying to figure out what really the hell is going on. But hopefully I got Brian online. Brian, if you're there, holler.
Oh, I'm here.
Ah, nice to have you here. Good evening, sir.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
Oh, not too bad. Just a nice 70-degree evening in Phoenix.
Thanks, Brian. We needed that.
Yeah.
It's snowing here.
Good. Well, you know, like as you can hear, Brian, I have Coach Evans online with two of his players, Don and Sarah, and one of his assistant coaches as well. And as you can tell by the topic, you know, we're really looking at pretty much the whole idea of it is we as owners, coaches, what have you, we're looking to try to put the best product out so we can, you know, legitimize the sport. I know you've been around women's football for about 4 or 5 years now.
I think between 7 and 8, I think.
7 and 8? Well, yeah, so you've been around. So, I mean, basically, what's your take? You know, what do you think is going to take to, you know, really, really get this to the point where, you know, you as an owner, as well as I, can really just walk up to our players and say, okay, here's a check for X amount of dollars. You know, job well done.
Well, you know, I think if you look back, and I kind of related a little bit to the experience that I had with several friends of mine in the Arena Football League. You know, my business partner played for the Rattlers, and several of my very good friends played for the Arizona Rattlers. And then when it started out, you know, it didn't have the backing of the NFL. It was just out there as a relatively new sport. And all those guys worked other full-time jobs, and it was several years before they even got any compensation at all. And that was with a lot of money behind a lot of those teams. You know, coaches like Danny White and others that, you know, had NFL experience and a lot of name recognition and still struggled. I think fortunately for women in the United States, we have a society that is totally enthralled with sports, male and female. And so I think we have a very rich audience out there. It's really, I think it just comes down to getting the word out to enough people that it's out there. I couldn't tell you how many times, you know, I'm either asked or players tell me, you know, I told these people at my work that, you know, that I was going to be playing football, and they didn't even know that women played football. It's just not a natural connection in a lot of people's minds. I think that's unfortunate, but that's just the perception that's out there. And it's kind of that way until they come to a game. And as soon as they come to a game and they see the players on the field and they see the proficiency that a lot of those players have, you know, at our games, you know, playing other teams, you know, the Diamonds, the Energy, the Amazons, other teams that I have some experience with, and they see the amazing athleticism that a lot of these athletes have, they just sit there with this stunned amazement on their face for about a quarter, and then they're like, you know, this is pretty good, and they get into it, and then, you know, they go tell two people and so on and so on. It's just the exposure, and because, you know, the girls do such a great job on the field and have such a passion for playing the game, which is evident at practice and just listening to anybody that's played, you know, I think just it's going to be one of those things where it's going to be a war of attrition, and the more people that find out about it, the more people are going to like it and enjoy it. And, you know, it'll probably grow at a pretty steady pace. A lot less infighting between different leagues and all that would certainly help, but that'll run its natural course, I think.
Okay. Now, how are things looking for you guys down in the desert, you know, being that now you're in a new league, you're surrounded by, you know, a lot of experience, you know, guys who've been at this level of football. How are things looking for you guys down in the Phoenix?
Well, we'll be good. I think that it's going to be a little bit of a rebuilding year for us. I've thought that for the last couple of years, but you know, we were a very, very veteran team the last 2 years. I think that, you know, with everybody, we'll lose some veterans. What I'm very encouraged about by the amount of interest that we've gotten in the off season is that our email contact list of people that have contacted us and want to know about tryouts and want to know what's going on with the Prowlers is now three times the size of our veteran players. And we picked up some outstanding rookies last year, and as anybody that's played this sport knows, the learning curve for football can be extremely steep. I coach Pop Warner and some men semi-pro as well, and you know, even the young boys that are 8, 9, 10 years old that sometimes have been playing for 4 or 5 years, and a lot of the ladies come out of, you know, basketball, softball, soccer, you know, other sports where they've watched the game, but they've never had an opportunity to play, and that's much different. So I'm very encouraged because there's a lot of interest, and I if we pick up as many good rookies as we did last year, well, that may be the end of my rebuilding theory. So we'll see. I'm really encouraged. I like the way the WFA is structured very much, and the teams that we're going to play, and I think it'll be a good year for the Prowlers.
Good. Glad. You know, I'm so thankful to actually have this league. I'm thankful to have teams like yourself, Vegas, Ventura. You know, I speak a lot with the owner of Ventura. Like I said, they're actually coming along even better than what I predicted. You know, which is a good thing, which is a really good thing. I know one of the big things that we were looking forward to, and just here on the West Coast, was having the Amazons in our league. Now, I know you've been good friends with Coach Duncan for a long time, you know, so have I. What were your thoughts on him leaving us to go to the IWFL?
Well, you know, I've known Aubrey for quite a while. We have a very good mutual respect. I was the offensive coordinator for the Arizona Caliente for most of their existence, and obviously the Amazons and the Caliente had a pretty intense rivalry along with the Southern California and some of the other teams from the WPFL. You know, I can't really say that I necessarily understand the decision, but I respect Coach Duncan a lot, and I know he did what he thinks is best for his team. I enjoy playing them very much. You know, in the series between him and me, I had the upper hand until this last year, and you know, they got us three in a row, so he kind of evened that up a little bit, and I certainly would like the opportunity to tilt that back in my favor at some point, but hopefully that'll happen, and I just wish the Amazons the best. They have a tremendous team with a lot of great athletes. You know, Guidry is one of the best running backs I've seen at this level. You know, I can go to film and unfortunately recall 8, 9, and 10 missed tackles, and it wasn't because we didn't know how to tackle. She's just an extremely great athlete. And, you know, I wish them well in where they're at. I hope that we get to see them again soon as the sport consolidates and we get closer to one league instead of multiple leagues. So, you know, we'll see how it goes, but I was with the Amazon's organization, and I wish them well, and hope we'll get to see them again.
Yeah, you know what, and I wish I could actually cross paths with Duncan again on the field as well. You know, I said last time I saw Duncan was 2002. That's been a long time, you know, and I've watched his teams develop over the years. He's like you said, he's always had a great amount of talent out there on that field. Actually, I remember seeing one of the games between you guys, and it was a hard-fought game. It was a very hard-fought game. You know,
well,
it was enjoyable.
We've had some wars between the Amazons and the Prowlers. I can't really, and the Caliente as well. I can't take anything away from you know, from their victories this last year, but I'll also tell you, when I was there at their playoff game, that Duncan will be the first to admit that any of those games could have very easily gone the other direction, particularly with the size and fairly dominant offensive and defensive lines that the Prowlers have had for the last several years. But, you know, unfortunately, at the end of the game, they had more points than we did, and we made a lot of mistakes, and you can't do that at any level of football, and but hopefully he'll come back around so I can we can make up for some of those at some point, or at least the team can. We're bringing in some additional coaches this year, a name that a lot of people will know. Jerry Turley is going to be back, hopefully very involved with the Prowlers again. He was a head coach of the Caliente all those years, so he's very well known. And you know, I'll be involved at in some regard, but there's going to be some new blood, and some of the players that are retired are going to be taking a more active role in the team, because it's not just about women on the field, it's women in the front office and on the coaching staff, and I've tried to really make that an emphasis for my team, which is, you know, it's not just about women's football on the field, it's on the sideline. They should be involved in everything, and at some point, you know, be head coaches and that kind of stuff. I had a player this last year that was blessed to actually be the head coach of a high school prep team. And they went all the way in their first year to the state championship and won the state championship. So if anybody out there thinks these ladies don't know what they're doing, I got news for you. they do, because she's got a state championship to show for it.
There you go. Yeah, that ring speaks a lot. Trust me, I got enough of them. Now, let me put this question out to both John and to you, Brian. And I want to get an answer from Brian first. How do you guys feel about promoting each other, especially in your respective division? Because I know this is something that, you know, over the years of football, I've been noticing, you know, it's been a lot of individualism between teams. Especially in their same division. How do you guys feel about, you know, really trying to promote one another?
Well, you know, the one thing that was I actually was at a conference that I attended last year that I thought was an excellent marketing idea, and something that the Modesto Magic from up in Modesto actually did was, you know, they were a new team. And, you know, they came in with a big part of their marketing push was, you know, hey, you know, come to the game with your Modesto Magic against the two-time defending NWFA Western Division champion Phoenix Prowlers. So they actually played up our team as a focus of their marketing, which I thought was a great idea. And, you know, you've got, you know, teams across the great thing about women's football as opposed to the men's semi-pro game is the fact that, you know, you don't have 10 teams in a local area. You usually have one team per city for the most part. And so, you know, there's a lot more pride in your city, and that you have, you know, the girls coming in from L.A. or Orange County or Las Vegas or Tucson or something like that, and I think that it's invaluable that we promote each other as much as we can, because that's just going to make it grow for everybody. Obviously, if New York does well, you know, I don't think that I've met too many owners in any of the leagues that I've been involved in which were, you know, greedy or selfish with things that they found that worked. Everybody tends to spread the information around, and you know, we did with things that worked well for us last year, and you know, 30 heads are better than one, and I'm pretty sure that'll always be true. So I think the cross-promotion is invaluable. I know that we all know each other in the Western Division very well from reputation and from just years of playing against each other in one form or another, and I have no doubt that'll be extremely strong out here in the West, and I hope the other parts of the country can do the same thing.
Cool. How do you feel about that, John?
Yeah, I agree fully. I think 30 heads are definitely better than one, and maybe someday with all of us, 90 heads will be better than one with everything. And you know, and then I pick up the phone and call another owner or another coach, or you know, talk to a former player or a player whenever, you know, we can always just keep making each other better. And for us particularly with this first year in this new city. For us, I mean, I would love to bring in a team from Phoenix or bring in a team from the California Lynx or the Las Vegas Showgirls or just another team out of our Northeast. And one of the things we're hoping with this kickoff classic idea is that possibly we could be able to pay for the other team to come in. with sponsorship and all that. And so we're not looking at the same, you know, in our Northeast division, the same seven teams. I mean, that's one of the things that I'm psyched about this year is that there's, right now we're looking at 8 to 10 teams in the Northeast. We may not have to play everybody twice all the time this year. We may be able to just get one look at each other. And, you know, one year we'll go to West Virginia, and one year West Virginia will come to us. And you know, and then on in the future when, you know, hopefully the Maines come on board and some more of the teams up in New England, this Northeast area is just a huge area. And we talk. I mean, I talk to NWFA and IWFA coaches and owners almost on a daily basis of, you know, what can we do? And these are proactive owners like ourselves. And, you know, what can we do to make this thing better? What can we do to be able to cross over and play in another league or to get a look at how they do things? And it just, again, it goes back to what I said earlier. You know, why are we so afraid to try to make each other better? Because it only helps us in the long run. I mean, you know, we're gonna how do you fill the seats out in Phoenix? I'm gonna, you know, let's try it. If it works for you, let's see if we can make it work. Or, you know, what works? I mean, I'm tired of playing to, you know, 50 and 60 people, and you know, we're not gonna do that. We're not gonna settle for that this year. There's no reason for it. And
yeah,
and if we have to go to, you know, another team to find out how they do it, and that's fine. You know, I just think that we just need to keep talking, and we need to get more people like all of ourselves. I've said this at WPFL owners meeting 3 years ago in Charlotte, where, you know, when Dion got up to speak, and people looked at him like he had a horn grown out of the side of his forehead. But it's things that are happening now. The things that he put out there 3 years ago, and everybody just thought he was nuts, are the things that are happening now. And I think that's what we need to do. We need to be proactive and not be so competitive with our ideas. You know, I'd be willing to sit down and talk to anybody about how I'm going to not charge anybody anything and pay people. And they may think I'm nuts. And maybe I am. You know, maybe a year from today I'll be sitting on this show, you know, and, you know, in debt and in a mental institution and saying, you know, I should have listened. But I think it can be done. And that's 90% of it is if I think it can be done, we're going to do it. And we've got the management team in place and the people, the girls, the attitude, and we're going to get it done. You know, we might not win 10 games this year, but we're certainly going to have fun trying to do it, and we're going to be filling the seats, and people are going to be wanting to play for us.
Yeah. Hey, Brian, I mean, how do you feel about perhaps having a 10-game break, a 10-game season?
I can see both sides of that. I mean, I think there's some merit to a 10-game season. I'm a little bit more of an advocate of the 8, just because, you know, in any level of football, the injuries can tend to build up. You know, this is a very violent sport. It's not for the faint of heart. I mean, you know, anybody that thinks that the women don't hit, I would certainly invite them to line up in front of my offensive line and see how they like that. But, you know, I think if the finances can be made to work legitimately, and I think with some decent sponsors, and certainly I think we have a greater chance for success in the WFA than any other leagues that I have any knowledge about, which I think is all of them. You know, I can see where that would be done with some larger rosters. You know, the women that are capable of playing this game don't grow on trees. You know, I had my offensive line was close to 1,400 pounds, which is larger than all of the semi-pro teams in Phoenix that are men. So, you know, those ladies with that level of size and athleticism are extremely rare. You know, I had a quarterback that could throw the ball 45 yards. I had a backup quarterback who was extremely precise and, you know, played four positions, bless her heart, and played them all extremely well. So, you know, I think as the word gets out and more of these very talented ladies come to the forefront and you can have a 50-55 person roster, I think a 10-game season is very realistic. I just, you know, I think that the roster size might need a little bit bigger to get there. But, you know, the thing about it is, like I said, I'm bringing the women that have played for 4 and 5 years into the management, into the coaching. I'm taking steps back into the background and letting them run a lot more of it. And the word gets out because it's kind of their team instead of my team, which is kind of the attitude I like to have. And, you know, it only takes a person coming to one game or hearing about it once to kind of get them hooked. And then the next time there are more people at practice and more people at tryouts, and it's kind of a snowball that I think is finally starting to roll. And I think the WFA has all the right pieces in place. I think it's taken all the best ideas from the other leagues that have existed, which all had their own great ideas. They just couldn't get them all on the same page. And, you know, I think it'll really be successful. I mean, I'd love nothing more in another year or two to have, you know, women running the entire show and have 40 to 50 teams across the country that all play each other and have a true, you know, national slash world champion out of, you know, all the teams. You know, Detroit, Sacramento, Atlanta, you know, Pittsburgh. I'd love to go up against the Passion. Several teams I'd love to play that, you know, I think is all possible if we'll just all get behind the same wagon and start pushing.
There you go. There you go. Well, I'm one for, you know, a long season because it gets us more exposure. But I'm looking at several things that could possibly happen. You know, and this can include, you know, hey, eight game regular season, one or two preseason games, what have you. So, like I said, there's a lot that's in the making right now, and as we get ready to draw things to a close. I just want to first say thank you very much, John, Don, Sarah, Brian, and I didn't get your assistant's coach name.
Derek.
Derek. Okay. Thank you for you guys actually kicking off my first radio show. I think this was very informative. I think the people who are listening really have something they can actually put out toward everyone else and say, hey, I think y'all need to tune in on Tuesdays at 7 o'clock. This is real football talk here. I would also like to thank BJ for actually giving me the opportunity to do this, because for the longest I was kicking around that thought, should I do it or should I just kick back and, you know, lay in the cut? But this is actually a way for me to get out my thoughts and feelings about football and where this level of football should be. So I'm definitely thankful for that. Again, this is, you know, Game Time with Coach Bartley. Consider me the new Howard Stearns of women's football. And if people have any questions or comments during my show, you're more than welcome to call in. Area code 347-826-7278. Or you can actually email me at headcoach16@yahoo.com. This was great, and I look forward to seeing you guys during the course of the season. I know I'll definitely be talking to both of you guys more off air. So, again, thank you guys for participating in this.
Thanks, Anthony. Good luck to you, Brian.
Absolutely. Same to you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And again...